辆跑车跑得再快
，The sports car can go as fast as it wants。
你把它拆了
，You disassembled it。
它就会变成一堆废品
，It will turn into a piled scrap。
但如果把活着的酵母细胞彻底碾碎
，But if the living yeast cells are completely crushed。
它却依然能够继续分解糖分产生能量。
However, it can still continue to break down sugars to produce energy.
这句话如果在一百多年前
If this sentence were said 100 years ago,
你敢说会被最顶尖的科学家否定
You dare to say that you will be denied by the most top scientists.
因为当时科学界普遍相信一种叫活力论的学说
Because at that time, the scientific community generally believed in a theory called the living theory.
这种学说认为
This theory argues that
发酵这类
fermentation, etc.
把糖分解的过程必须依赖生物体内一种特殊的生命力
The process of breaking down sugar must rely on a special life force of a living organism.
一旦细胞死亡
Once the cell dies,
这种力量就会消失
This power will exist.
所有的反应呢也就会立即停止
All reactions will stop immediately.
直到1929年
Until 1929,
两位诺贝尔化学奖得主用精确的实验证明了这种生命力并不存在
Two Nobel laureates in chemistry have proven with precise experiments that this vitality does not exist.
今天继续用我的捕鱼理论。
Today, I continued to use my fishing theory.
回到当年的实验现场，深度思考。
Only when deeply thinking about the experimental site of that year,
看看他们到底是怎么一步一步证明细胞的能量代谢。
Let's see how they step by step prove the energy metabolism of cells.
瞬间只是纯粹的化学反应的，换作
It's just a simple chemical reaction.
是你能想到吗
Can you imagine it?
第一个问题
The first question.
既然当时科学界认为糖的分解必须依赖活的细胞
Since the scientific community at that time believed that the breakdown of sugar must depend on living cells,
这个突破口是怎么找到的呢
How was this breakthrough found?
其实在这项诺奖研究之前
Actually, before this lecture,
前已经有实验提供了线索
This document provides experimental evidence.
把活的酵母细胞放进研波
Put the living yeast cells into a mortar.
加入石英砂一起去研磨
Add to the mixture and grind together.
把细胞壁和细胞膜彻底破坏
Completely destroy the cell wall and cell membrane.
然后过滤到所有的细胞碎片
Then filter out all the cell debris.
得到的是澄清的汁液里面
The clarified juice.
没有任何完整的活细胞。
There are no complete living cells.
按照当时活力论的预测
According to the predictions of the theory of vitality,
这种液体应该没有任何生理功能。
This liquid should have no physiological function.
但当他们把这种液体加进糖水之后
However, when they added this liquid to the sugar water,
糖水却依然可以产生酒精和二氧化碳。
Sugar can still produce alcohol and carbon dioxide.
这说明分解糖分子的能力并不完全依赖于完整的活细胞。
This indicates that the ability to break down sugar molecules does not entirely depend on complete living cells.
而是来自细胞破裂之后
Instead, it comes from the cell breaking.
释放到液体里的某些物质
Release of certain substances into liquid.
这些物质在当时被统称为酶
These substances were then collectively called enzymes.
第二个问题
The second question.
这里面的酶到底是什么呢
What enzymes are in this?
1929年，诺奖得主哈登设计了一个物理的分离实验来解决这个问题。
In 1929, the winner of the prize designed a physical separation experiment to solve the problem.
他把酵母汁液装进半透膜做的袋子里。
He put the yeast liquid into a bag made of semi-permeable membrane.
把袋子浸在水里进行透析。
Soak the bag in water for dialysis.
几天之后。
A few days later.
后袋子里留下不能穿透薄膜的大分子物质。
Leave the large molecules that cannot penetrate the membrane in the bag.
袋子外面是穿透出去的小分子物质。
The substance outside the bag is a small molecule that can penetrate.
他把这两部分单独取出来。
He extracted these two parts separately.
分别滴进糖水里。
Dropped separately into the sugar water.
两者都不能够引起发酵。
Neither can cause fermentation.
但只要把两部分重新混合在一起，发酵。
But as long as the two parts are mixed and fermented again.
就恢复了。这个结论。
Re-established the conclusion.
证明酶不是单个分子在工作。
Prove that enzymes are not single molecules working.
它至少是由一个不能透析的大分子和一个可以透析的小分子组成。
It consists of at least one large molecule that cannot be dissolved and one small molecule that can be dissolved.
后来这两个部分分别被称为酶蛋白和辅酶。
Later, these two parts were called enzymes and coenzymes.
紧接着第三个问题。
The next question is,
两个部分都齐了。
Both parts have started.
系统就能够一直运转下去吗？
Can the system run indefinitely?
阿登在实验中发现。
In the experiment, Hardin found that
把两部分混合之后，
After mixing the two parts,
发酵反应确实是开始了。
The fermentation reaction has indeed started.
但反应速率会逐渐下降。
But the reaction rate will gradually decrease.
最终直到完全停止。
Finally, until it completely stops.
即使试管里面还剩下大量没有分解的糖，反应。
Even if there are a large number of unmetabolized sugar reactions in the test tube,
也不能够继续进行，系统
cannot continue the system.
没有损坏，零件没有缺失。
No damaged parts, no missing parts.
为什么就停了呢？
Why did it stop?
普通人到这里就会给出一个结论。
An ordinary person would conclude that
说你看，活力论就是维持代谢必须的条件吧。
So you mean that the conditions necessary for maintaining metabolism are those that are essential for vitality?
但诺奖得主推测。
However, Nobel laureates speculate that
一定是由某种物质在反应中被消耗掉。
Must be a substance that is consumed in the reaction.
而这个物质就是一个关键组分。
And this substance is a key component.
他开始往停止反应的试管里添加各种物质来做试验。
It began to add various substances to the test tube to conduct experiments.
发现添加无机磷酸盐。
Finding the addition of phosphate salts.
可以让反应重新启动。
Restart the reaction.
这就是思想的差距。
This is the difference in thinking.
那无机磷酸盐为什么能够恢复发酵呢？
Why can inorganic phosphate restore fermentation?
因为糖分子本身比较稳定。
Because sugar molecules are relatively stable.
不能被直接分解，哈登的实验数据证明。
The data from Hardin's experiments cannot be directly decomposed.
糖进入这套酶系统之后，
Once sugar enters this enzyme system,
第一步是和磷酸结合。
The first step is to combine with phosphoric acid.
这个过程叫磷酸化。接了磷酸基团之后，
This process is called phosphorylation, which involves the addition of a phosphate group.
糖的分子结构就变得不稳定了。
The molecular structure of sugar has become unstable.
才能够被酶进一步去拆解。
Which can be further broken down by enzymes.
释放能量。反应过程中，
In the process of releasing energy,
游离的磷酸盐被不断的消耗。
Free phosphates are constantly being consumed.
一旦磷酸盐用完，新进入的糖分子就不能被激活了。
Once the phosphate is used up, the newly entering sugar molecules cannot be activated.
整个反应就停止了。
The reaction stopped completely.
整个过程清晰明了。
The entire process is clear.
但里面还有一个小问题。
But there's also a small problem.
那个能透析的小分子辅酶到底是什么呢？
What exactly is the small molecule cofactor that can be used for dialysis?
这是另外一位诺奖得主的工作。
Just another work by a Nobel laureate.
他通过大量的分离和沉淀。
It achieves this through extensive separation and precipitation.
把这种小分子从酵母汁液里边提取出来。
Extract these small molecules from yeast extract.
测定了它的化学结构。
Determine its chemical structure.
它的成分是碳、氢、氧、氮。
Its components are carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen.
磷，化学性质上属于核苷酸类物质。
Phosphorus chemistry belongs to the class of nucleosides.
后来被称为辅酶。
Later called coenzymes.
在整个发酵过程中啊
，during the entire fermentation process，
它的作用是在不同的反应步骤之间转移电子和氢原子。第六个问题
，its function is to transfer electrons and hydrogen atoms in the sixth step between different reaction steps，
把糖的分解还原到这一步
，break down and reduce the sugar to this step。
对生命科学又意味着什么呢
？What does it mean for the field of life sciences？
它证明了细胞获取能量的过程。
It demonstrates the process of how cells obtain energy。
可以用化学和物理的语言完全描述。
Can be completely described in chemical and physical terms。
不需要引入生命的特殊力量。
No special powers are required。
糖的分解是一套化学反应序列。
The breakdown of sugar is a sequence of chemical reactions.
糖先和磷酸结合。
Sugar reacts with phosphate.
然后在蛋白酶的催化下。
Under the catalysis of proteases.
辅酶负责搬运电子和原子，逐步锻炼化学键。
Cofactors are responsible for transporting electrons and atoms, gradually building chemical bonds.
这个过程的每一步都有确定的化学反应式。
Each step of this process has a definite chemical reaction formula.
生命活动的底层驱动力。
The underlying driving force of life activities.
是热力学上可行的化学反应。
It is a thermodynamically feasible chemical reaction.
不是独立于物质之外的神秘原理。
Not a mysterious principle independent of matter.
它宣告了生命与非生命之间那道鸿沟的消失。
It announced the disappearance of the gap between life and non-life.
1929年的这个诺贝尔奖。
The Nobel Prize in 1929.
用清晰的化学逻辑告诉我们
Clearly, based on chemical logic,
生物获取能量的过程
The process of organisms obtaining energy
本质上就是一系列精确的化学齿轮的咬合。我是沈博士，关注我。
What I'm interested in is the precise chemical gears of Dr. Shen's work.
在这里
Here,
我们可以用深度思考的方式直接获取诺奖得主的思维逻辑。
We can directly obtain the thinking logic of Nobel Prize winners by using deep thinking.
以最直接的方式推演科学事实。
To directly derive scientific formulas.
找到问题的本质。
Find the essence of the problem.